Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. It is either November or December of 2025. And what a mess it is out there in the real world. So I am going to say this. Do not donate to the Dork Forest this month or next month. If you do donate, I will donate your money to the LA Food Bank, which is fine. But what I'd love you to do is to find your local food bank. And you can do that by going to feedingamerica.com. I think it's org, or you could Google the name of your town and the words food bank. I believe in all of you, and donate as much as you can to the local food bank this month, the next month, and ongoing if you can. But I mean, I appreciate all of your donations, but it's a real mess out there right now. So if you can help your neighbors, that'd be great. My website, of course, JackieCation.com, still available to watch. I'm doing a new album this year. It'll come out actually in 26 and a new special. I'm touring. That tour information is at JackieCation.com. My merch is there. It's got Dork Forest merch. It also has stand-up merch is at JackieCation.com. Dork Forest, where you can watch the videos and you can watch, you can listen to the audio, especially, I guess, whatever you like. You can join my email list, where you'd scroll all the way to the bottom and then sign up. Harder to get on it than to get off, since there's an unsubscribe on every episode. And also a link to my other podcast that I have with Lori Kilmartin, where we just talk about stand-up comedy and celebrate it and bitch about it. But this is the Dork Forest. And so let's get into it. Let's dork out, you guys. Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. How you doing? I'm back in the guest room here at the house. My guest today, longtime acquaintance. Is that something, Randy Houser? How's it going?
It's going good. Yes.
Randy Houser's here. I haven't had this in since the first week of, I think, lockdown, when I tried desperately to figure out how to use the Zoom. And my buddy Jim Wooster tried to talk about this. He loves it. You love it. I don't know anything about it. I've tried to watch it because of him, and I'll try again because of you. It's Columbo.
Columbo.
The TV show Columbo, referenced at length in pop culture now.
Yeah, it's a pretty iconic character.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Peter Falk?
Yeah, that's it. It's that guy who's actually quite handsome, but not in Columbo.
Right, because he's very ruffled.
He's, right.
Which is interesting because he starts out looking like what a normal detective might look like. But because he uses the same raincoat every year, it gets worse and worse and more rumpled.
the prop itself?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it starts out like a looking like a regular raincoat, and he takes it off all the time. And then as he progresses and he gets more hold of the character, he never takes it off. There's a.
What state, what city is it set in?
Los Angeles.
He's wearing a raincoat in Los Angeles?
He's wearing a raincoat in Los Angeles, an overcoat. And
wow, that sounds warm.
Yeah, like a London fog kind of. So he's got an overcoat over a suit, over a cheap suit.
Wow. Okay, I don't think I thought it was in San Francisco for some reason, but I get it.
Well, San Francisco would have worked, but I think LA has more murders.
Right, just for funsies. And then what about his car? His car is also a big deal, right?
Car's an ancient Peugeot, I believe.
Okay.
And it's from the late 50s. So,
like a sedan, though, right?
This is the early 70s. I believe it's a coupe.
A coupe.
Yes, a convertible coupe.
And he just gets to drive his own car because he's a detective. That's when we learn that detectives drive their own cars, I guess.
He drives his own car. He also rarely goes to the office. I think one of the reasons it's successful is he doesn't go to the office. He doesn't deal with a boss who's always trying to stop him. He just does his thing.
Right. Wait. He doesn't go to the cop shop? He never goes to the police station?
Early on, there's one scene of him there waiting for evidence to get, processed.
Okay.
But
how does he get the murder info?
They call him wherever he is.
On his landline in 1972.
Yes.
He's
at the dentist. No, he's at the vet, and the vet gets a call and says, is Columbo there? And then they tell him there's a murder. That's actually my favorite episode.
That's awesome.
I just watched it. It's called Etude in Black, and the villain is John Cassavetes.
Right, because that's it. And John Cassavetes is a famous actor.
And he's a famous actor, and he's also best friends with Peter Falk in real life.
Okay.
And they've acted together in some of John Cassavetes' movies.
Okay.
Fantastic. And so their chemistry is really wonderful. The villains make the show. How good an episode is has to do with how good the villain is.
And is that an earlier episode, do you think? Or is that like
it's
a couple of years
second,
in?
Second season, first episode.
Okay. Oh, Etude in Black is first. And he's at the vet. Does he have a dog or a cat?
He has a dog that he hasn't named. He never names it through the whole series.
He never names a dog. What kind of dog? Do we get to see the dog?
Basset Hound, I believe.
Oh, that tracks.
Yeah. His dog is also rumpled and very low energy. he takes it with him on cases, but it never, it's not like it follows him around or does anything like find clues. It's just sits in his car.
I love that. He doesn't even take it out of the car.
No.
He just comes back to the car and there the dog is.
When he takes it out, he has to carry it because it won't walk.
Okay.
It just sits. So, and he, of course, grows affectionate for the dog.
Right. That's the emotion. Is there a love interest ever?
He has a wife.
I forget
that you never.
He's married.
He's married. You never see this. There's some Columbo fans who wonder if she exists or if she's just a way for him to,
rationalized.
Yeah, to say, oh, my wife said, he likes to make himself seem very humble and kind of scattered in front of the villain.
Right.
They'll let things loose. They'll let things go.
Yep.
But there's an episode where she calls him on the phone.
Okay. So she.
So she does exist. And they also go on a cruise where he has to solve a murder when he's on the cruise.
But we still don't see her. She has not been cast. She has never been cast.
She's never been cast.
Well, this
is fascinating.
Except for
a spinoff show called Mrs. Columbo with Kate Mulgrew as Mrs. Columbo. And it was horrible.
That does sound terrible. I love Kate Mulgrew. She's from Voyager, right? Am I thinking of the right actress?
Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black? Yeah.
Yeah. Female Oz.
This is all the 70s, right?
Yes. So he did seven seasons in the 70s and then took 10 years off and came back. I did three seasons, but I don't count those seasons.
Because they're just kind of a desperate cry for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just a money grab. And Columbo has a really good haircut, like a $100 haircut. And because it's Peter Falk now, who's living this life of luxury. And the writing's not as good.
Right. Who wrote it? Do you have any idea who?
There are different. So the creators are these guys named Williamson and Link, and they were a team, and they created the character, and they were the story. What do you call them? The showrunners.
Showrunners, okay.
And then the very first episode was written by Stephen Bochco.
And
directed by Steven Spielberg.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I think I knew that. Is it the one about the Nazi? Is it the one about the Nazi?
It's the same villain, but a different episode. So Jack Cassidy did three different episodes.
He played the villain in three different episodes? Or?
Yeah, he's a great villain. He's fantastic because he's so good at being arrogant.
Which is always your downfall with Columbo.
Yes. Yeah, that's how he gets you. Usually your own hubris.
How does it manifest itself besides the classic? I have one more question for you. I mean, do we see the murder in the beginning, or do we see the crime?
One of the things about Columbo that's interesting is you don't see Columbo for the first 20 minutes of the show. Because you see the whole run up to the murder and the murder and the
maybe that's what confused me when I tried to watch it. I was like, where the hell's the guy?
That's why the villain is so important, because the villain has to hold your attention for 20 minutes and it has to be
right. It better be a hell of a good actor.
Yeah. So my favorite villains are the ones who did it the most are Jack Cassidy and Robert Culp. Just fantastic murderers.
So are they murdering their wives? Are they murdering their coworkers? Are they murdering their business partners? Who are they murdering? Is there a theme?
It's all of those. Jack Cassidy murders his partner in writing who's going to retire. So he murders him.
You might as well. If you're not going to help me, I guess you're not going to live off the largesse of our. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't want anybody to find out that he never actually wrote.
Oh.
So he murdered him because then he doesn't have to write by himself. He just is going to say, "Oh, I have to retire the character because of in honor of this guy."
Oh, in honor of his coworker. Yes.
And then Jack Cassidy played a book publisher. Who murders an author who's going to go to a different publishing house. And then he plays the Nazi.
Okay.
A Nazi prison guard who...
has been hiding for decades
as a magician. So he's a magician with a different name. And the head of the... It's not the Magic Castle, but it's called something like the Magic Castle.
It's the Magic Castle.
Yeah. The head of that... restaurant finds out that he's a Nazi and he's going to expose him. So he kills him.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And uses magic in a way.
Of course he does. Okay. Wow. And now what's his name? Cassidy?
Jack Cassidy. He's the
famous
sire
character actor.
He's the sire of many pop idols. He's David Cassidy and Sean Cassidy's dad.
Dad? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I think he was big on Broadway, bigger than he was on in movies.
Okay. Was he dreamy? Was he also dreamy looking like Sean and
He looked
David?
Like those guys. Yeah. Yeah, he looked like those guys.
He had the same features because of genetics. Yes. Okay. And then what was the other guy's name?
Robert Culp. Robert Culp was in I Spy.
Okay.
And Bob Carroll, Ted and Alice.
Okay. I vaguely remember that. Yeah, how many episodes did he do?
He did three. He was a private detective. Who's the head of this huge detective agency, kind of doesn't exist anymore. And he would
Pinkerton?
Yes, it's like that. Yeah, big like that. And a spouse would come and say, my wife's cheating on me or my husband's cheating on me. He'd find out they were, then he would blackmail them for information.
Oh. Getting it from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like your husband is like the woman who ends up dying. You know, your husband's newspaper publisher. I just need news before anybody else gets it. And she says no. and he flies into a rage and smacks her, and she hits her head on a coffee table and dies. And then he has to make her make it look like she was killed in a robbery.
Okay. And it's what do you think about, I don't own a coffee table. I think it's mostly because I don't want to be murdered by it. What do you think?
we have a coffee table and it's full of stuff.
Right. So is it full of magazines?
Flat surface. It's full of magazines. And
well, then you're not going to be killed by it because all the sharp edges are covered.
That's right. I'll fall and hit. Yes. I'll hit my head in an old New Yorker.
Okay. Fun. So, all right. So that's the first one. What else? Was he in? So he did the publisher.
No, Robert Culp did Private Detective.
The author. Right.
He did a second one is one of my favorites. I didn't list it in the top five because I have the Robert Culp ones in their own category.
Sure.
It's called The Most Crucial Game. And he's the general manager of a football team, the Los Angeles Rockets.
Excellent. And,
the owner is going to sell. And so this is a common theme. Somebody's going to sell a business or they're going to quit a partnership. And so the other person kills them.
Right. Which I don't understand the financial, like, how does that, I mean, are they usually the beneficiaries of that person's, of like, do they get the whole business then afterwards or?
Well, sometimes they're related, so they get the whole business.
Oh, sure. But sometimes it's just rage. They're like, you can't quit.
Right.
Nobody quits me. Okay.
But in the most crucial game, it was mostly just because he wanted to keep running the football team. And if they sell it, then he doesn't get to do that.
Oh, right. Because they'll hire some other general manager or something like that.
Right.
Wow. Okay. And the third one? Wait, so was that three for Robert Culp?
It was two. And the third one is he is a marketing guy who wrote a lot of books on marketing. And one of them was subliminal messages. And he uses subliminal messages to get a guy to go into the hallway so he can kill him. And then everybody comes out of watching this screening and they see the guy dead in the hallway. But Robert Culp is coming up behind them because he's already killed the guy and got him back. You know, so it couldn't have been him.
Right, to his seat. Couldn't have been him.
Couldn't have been him. He was narrating. Right.
So there's always some trick. So we watch them do the murder.
Yes. And then it's how are they going to get caught? Because sometimes they really do. The most crucial game, the Robert Culp football one, he really does come very close to a perfect murder.
Okay.
It's only Columbo is the only detective who really would have caught him.
And what was his tell? What did it, do you remember?
So it's Dean Stockwell is swimming in a pool.
Okay.
And Robert Culp hits him in the head with a big block of ice.
Oh, so it melts.
And then Columbo goes, this isn't chlorinated. He also sprays it with a hose to get, make it look like he splashed or something.
Okay.
It wasn't chlorinated water. So that's not how he catches him, but that's how he knows it's him.
Okay.
And then he has to catch him, which is.
Does he catch him or do they just admit it in the end? Like in Bones, they always just.
A lot of times they admit it because, quite frankly, a lot of his evidence is pretty thin and
very circumstantial or.
Yeah. And it could be. If they fought it in court, they'd very likely, especially because he only does rich murders.
Oh, only rich people?
Yeah.
That's his theme.
Yeah. Yes. He only does rich people. And then they're all arrogant. And, and he's just go, oh, you know, oh, just one more thing. And then they get irritated. But one of those,
because they're about to have tea or something.
Yes. One of the smart things he does is he talks to them about his theories, and then they always try to poke holes in the theory instead of what a real innocent person would do, which is to go, oh, So it's not who we thought it was. Who could it be then?
Right. Oh.
You know, or I thought it was a suicide. Right. Are you saying it's a murder?
Right. Right. Instead, but instead.
Instead they try to outsmart him. Right. And then that just shows they're guilty. And then he just.
Right. If someone was dead in front of me, let's role play this a little bit. Someone has fallen dead and they're like, and Columbo shows up and Columbo's like, well, the weird thing about him is you see his shoes have different mud on them than the mud in your yard. And I'd be like, how do you know mud? What? I mean, that would be my thing. It's who notices mud? And you're really good at this.
they never do that. They always say, oh, well, that could be because he was golfing.
Right. He was just golfing.
He was an avid golfer.
You know,
golfer.
He was a big golfer. Avid golfer.
Yeah. And then Columbo's like, oh, well, you're not supposed to know that. and then usually he gets them on their own arrogance. Like in one of them, one of my favorites is called the Bye Bye Sky High Murder Case. And this is a kind of a Mensa group.
Okay.
A different.
I remember Mensa being the it's sort of like LARPs now. Mensa used to be the place where a lot of murders were happening in the 70s and 80s.
So it's two accountants that are partners, and one of them is embezzling, and the other one caught him. So he murders him, and it's very complicated the way he shoots him. But then to make it seem like he wasn't there. He sets up a thing where a firecracker would go off and then a door would slam as soon as he opened the other door and all this stuff. And that way he has an alibi, which is he's one of the people to discover the body. And Columbo catches him by recreating it incorrectly. and the guy goes, no, only an idiot would do it that way. And then he does it the right way. And he goes, see. And then he realizes what he's doing and confesses.
And confesses because Columbo's like, oh, you're right. You're right. You are very smart. In other news, I'm arresting you. is that what it ends up kind of being?
Yes.
It's like, that's a really funny theme for him. Do we know, did Peter Falk love this character?
He must have.
Because he came back to it, but...
He came back to it, and he played it with great care.
Right.
So, and I know he had a lot of input into it. He directed one episode.
Okay.
And then never did it again, so it must have been very hard.
Right. Might have been, I think I want to do this. And then you do it, and you're like, oh, no. No, this is a different skill set and somebody else enjoys this. Yes. So pretty much we've just got, I think two of your favorites, unless the most crucial game in the world or whatever. Is that another fave?
Well, it is, but I,
you picked five. I know
all the Jack Cassidy ones and all the Robert Culp ones are favorites of mine.
Right. Those go together. Yeah.
Those go together. Yeah. But my, other is one of them is The Most Dangerous Match. It's with Lawrence Harvey.
Okay.
And that's a chess champion.
Yes.
And he is going to be playing an exhibition against a Russian chess champion.
Sure.
And he's going to lose. He knows he's going to lose. So he kills the guy.
Oh, that sounds like a diplomatic issue. is it not, it does not get taken over. Is there ever any federal oversight with the Columbo? Is anybody ever try to take his cases?
No, there's nothing, never anything like that. There's
never anything like that. He just is allowed to go in. He doesn't have a partner either, right?
No, he doesn't have a partner. There's a couple of episodes where there's a guy with him and I don't know whether they were trying out a partner or whether they just wrote it in there.
But, okay.
Columbo,
he's got the dog and then he's got the guy, but those are both under fives, right? There's like nobody gets to have a lot of lines.
Right.
Wow, he's got to carry the whole thing. I mean, there's the villain who's got to carry the first 15, 20 minutes, but then he's got to, and it's an hour long show, right?
Yeah. Hour, okay. Sometimes 90 minutes.
Sometimes 90.
Yeah. It was part of the NBC had this thing called the Mystery Movie.
Okay.
And it was Sunday, and they had four rotating shows. So one day a week, it would be Columbo. And then one Sunday a week, it would be McMillan and Wife. And one Sunday a week, it would be McLeod. And then one Sunday a week, it would be a show that always changed because they never found a fourth show.
Okay.
And I don't think they ever got him to agree to doing a full season, because what they did was, you know, they're 90 minutes streaming, which means they were 2 hours with commercials.
Right.
So
what is it streaming on?
Peacock is a great place to find them.
Okay.
Because it has everything. It has both pilots.
Okay.
And then the seven real seasons.
Yeah, yeah. So if he didn't want to do seasons, like, because usually seasons have 22 episodes, right?
Yeah.
How many episodes? Do you know how many?
They're usually seven. One season has four. I don't know. Three or four. I don't know why that is. Three or four, and then it came back to seven again.
2 hours. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
They were doing a movie.
Right, right. Essentially, he was doing a movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think seven movies is great. Or four will be fine. Is he still alive, Peter Falk?
I don't believe he is.
I think it feels like he passed out long ago. So
yeah,
maybe the last 5 years. But so the most dangerous match, the chess one.
Yes.
Who played the bad guy?
Lawrence Harvey.
Who Lawrence was in, Harvey.
What's it called? Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He was the Manchurian Candidate.
Wow. So he plays the bad guy.
Yeah, he was a minor movie star. He plays a bad guy who has a hearing aid, which is one of the big things that gives him away, because what he does is he pushes the other chess guy into a big, huge garbage grinder.
Oh, God.
And he doesn't know that the garbage grinder stopped. And that's why the...
there's more evidence.
Yeah, because the guy lives, and then he has to go into his hospital and shoot him with too much insulin.
Okay.
So that he dies of insulin. So a lot of times these guys do a second crime, and that's also what hurts them.
Oh, sure.
Makes them look more guilty.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, because he had a hearing aid, he didn't hear that the machine stopped, and therefore only a deaf man would have known that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That's the only way. We jumped right in at the beginning, the Etude in Black.
Yeah.
What's that one?
That's John Cassavetes is a composer.
Okay. He's
having an affair with his piano player, his pianist. And she is going to make waves with his wife. And his wife's very wealthy and keeps him in his lifestyle that he's, you know, become accustomed to.
Sure.
So he kills her and makes it look like a suicide.
Okay. So just mistress kind of.
Yes.
Now she's in the way and she's going to make waves. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Couple of recurring themes, like fake kidnappings to get ransom money.
Oh, that was very popular in the 70s as well.
Yeah. I think it's because a real guy did it. One of the Gettys did that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
In an effort to...
his effort to get money out of his grandfather who wouldn't pay a ransom.
Oh,
I don't think that's his thumb. How about them apples?
What if you showed up and he's like, no, I swear to God. I swear to God, I don't have a thumb anymore. Oh, reveal. And then...
I guess what happened with the Getty thing was he was going to... With some people he knew, he was going to fake a kidnapping, and they just decided, let's just make it a real kidnapping.
Right. There's you're hanging out with people who are willing to do kidnappings.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you're not right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It might have been. Might have been drugs involved.
Oh, I'm sure that there was like, if we got real money from the Getty grandpa, we're going to get like it was probably J. Paul Getty himself, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then you could afford all of the heroin and LSD that you'd ever wanted in your whole wide world life.
That's right.
How did that end? Do you remember? We're digressing.
I don't remember. There's a movie about it, but I don't remember how it ends. I know that that kid lived.
Okay.
But he did.
And J. Paul Getty, we know, is dead. This is what we know.
J. Paul Getty is dead. And so he got the money eventually. He just could have waited. Anyway, in Etude in Black.
Yes.
The reason I love it is just Cassavetes and Falk together. Their chemistry is fantastic.
Right.
And they're both so natural. And he catches him. And it's not the greatest reveal. But he does catch him, and then once he catches him, he's just like, "Oh, you caught me! Get me out of here in an unembarrassing way, please."
I do love that because but Etude in Black, that was Etude in Black, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
that was directed by the coach from Cheers.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the coach from Cheers.
Yeah, he directed a couple of episodes.
No, that's, the 70s, there was a lot, it feels like there's a lot more crossover in the 70s. Sort of like actors doing, remember Star Wagons? Lionel Wagoner invented Star Wagons?
No, what's that?
Lionel Wagoner, of course, he was on Love Boat a lot. He was kind of a dreamy dude. And, he invented, he started a business that was a fleet of trailers that could be rented by the studios to put their stars in, and he called it Star Wagons, and that's where he made all of his money, really.
Well, that's fantastic. Way to go, Lyle.
Yeah, way to go, Lyle Wagoner. And I believe he was at Carol Burnett, and I think that. Initially it was rental, and then he just built fleets that they could buy. Cool. And maybe he did maintenance or something on them. It was interesting. It was, by the way, the reason I got lost in Etude in Black was because I looked up John Paul Getty III was kidnapped in Rome in 1973 and held for 5 months for $17 million. His billionaire grandfather didn't want to do it. Bad precedent. What a shitbag. After the kidnapper severed and mailed Getty's right ear to pressure the family, his grandfather relented but talked them down to $2.2 million.
Wow.
Of the final $3 million, a loan for the rest with 4% interest. What is happening? Getty was freed in December of 73, never recovered from the trauma and subsequent drug and alcohol abuse, which led to a stroke in 81 that left him quadriplegic and partially blind. That is. Wow. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 54. That's younger every day, isn't it? Wow. So, yeah, but it didn't say that he had set it up himself.
Maybe it was a theory that it was fake and it wasn't really fake.
Oh, right, right. Maybe it was probably his brothers going, nobody would kidnap him. You know how you always think that your siblings aren't really worth it. Anyway, is that just me? That's just me.
Yeah, there's two fake kidnappings I can think off the top of my head in Colombo. One is the second pilot, Lee Grant, murders her husband and then fakes his kidnapping.
Oh, so that there's a reason for him to have died.
Yes, and also so that she can get money out of her stepdaughter's trust fund.
Ah.
And Columbo gets her by having the stepdaughter is suspecting her. And Columbo says, ask her for money. And so she has to use the kidnapping money, the ransom that she stole out of the trust fund. She has to use some of that. So she shows up. And then Columbo comes to her table at the airport and says, you have no conscience. That's your weakness. You can't imagine. In your mind, it's reasonable for someone to take money to forget about a murder.
Right.
You can't imagine that someone would not do that. So, you know, and
that's why you did it.
Yeah. And then they were able to trace the money and catch her.
Oh, fascinating. And what's the other one?
The other one is Ray Milland convinces his nephew to fake a kidnapping so that they can get money out of some trust.
Okay.
And then Ray Milland murders him so that he doesn't have to split the money.
His own nephew.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh. I have 13 or 14 nephews and nieces.
Wow.
Can't imagine. Murdering one. I might send Josiah out for cigarettes and hope he doesn't come back, but that's about it. Just because I think he's a bit of a mess, but he's also, I don't know, 35, 40 years old. So maybe he's not a mess anymore. I haven't talked to him.
You have much older siblings, don't you?
I do. My oldest brother is 10 years older than I am. Oh. So like, I think his oldest daughter is in her mid-40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. And because he started early, too. So my dad started early, and then my oldest brother started early. And so, and plus, I'm 100 years old, Randy Houser. So, like, I have, I think, 7 great nieces and nephews now. I think I have 6 great nephews and 1 great niece. Guess what my great niece would like? Another girl. if one of you bastards could have another girl child, that'd be great. As my great niece Layla would probably say, she's 17 or 18 now. Anyway,
Wow.
What Ray Milland? He's famous.
He is famous. He was really huge in the late 40s and 50s. He's in Lost Weekend, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he also did one of the worst movies ever made, where he had Rosie Greer's head, or his head is stitched onto Rosie Greer's body. So he's got two, Rosie Greer has 2 heads, and one of them is a racist Ray Milland.
What movie
that
is that?
Really a movie. I don't remember what it's called, but it's,
you wonder, like with actors, you're just like, there's 2 reasons. Who is it? Not John Cleese. The rich man's John Cleese. He is, he was in Miss Congeniality. This is not the best movie he was ever in, but he played the gay fashion designer. Very famous British actor. And everybody's yelling at their phones right now going, are you kidding me, Jackie? Anyway, so he wrote a book about why he act about acting. It's Michael Caine.
Oh,
So if you ever wonder who the rich man John Cleese is, it's Michael Caine. because my mind that's how my mind works. Anyway, Michael Caine wrote a book about the 2 reasons he takes acting work. One is where it's being shot, and the second one is how much it pays. Like, he doesn't look at the script.
Wow.
They were like, well, what if it's this and this? And he goes, where is it being shot? How much does it pay? So he did Miss Congeniality, and he did, he's done a lot of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, lately he's been doing more comedies, or in the latter part of his career. But he used to be a Batman, but he used to be a very serious like dramatic actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I wonder about Ray Milan and the two-headed, you know, the essentially just an extra head like basket case, and where maybe it was shot somewhere he wanted to go and it paid him the amount of money he needed to make. And
yeah, it's probably, yeah.
Yeah. Or the other reason I think sometimes actors take things is that they think it's funny. Like they're like, this might be like the money might not be that great, but this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm totally on board. Like, I feel like that's something Jamie Lee Curtis would do.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in a Columbo.
Was she? Which one? How so?
Her mom was a villain. She plays a former musical star, Hollywood musical star.
So Tony Curtis was married to?
Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh, there we go.
Yeah. And she is, she murders
she's
her
the
husband.
Bad guy?
She's the bad guy. She murders her husband for money so that she can mount a comeback.
Okay, sure.
But as the episode goes on, you realize that she is in the early stages of dementia.
Oh.
And so Columbo catches her, but, you know, he's not gung-ho about it. And, you know, he's got to catch her, but he lets her watch. He lets her watch a movie one last time.
Oh, before they take her away.
Yeah, she watches her own movies in a screening room.
Okay.
And then they take her away. But Jamie Lee Curtis is in that episode as a waitress in a diner where Columbo brings his own donut. And she wants to charge him for the, donut. And he's, oh, I brought this with me. And she just looks at him with this, you know, glare.
Right. You don't bring your own food.
Right.
What are you, nuts?
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
I would like to know, are there any other, like, because first of all, that's an amazing scene, like where Columbo has confused the general public with his Columbo-ness.
Yes.
Because that donut thing is perfect. Can you think of anything else like that?
Oh, let's see. Can't really.
Right. You would have looked it up. I'm so sorry.
There's a thing he goes to. I can't remember why he's going to this fancy restaurant. I don't remember if it's because a fancy chef. There's one where a chef murders somebody. I don't know if it's that he's going to this fancy restaurant.
Did they not like his food?
I believe it was a critic that he killed with the poison from a blowfish.
Oh, the old blowfish using the blowfish as the murder weapon.
Yes.
That's a classic. Yep.
Yeah, but he did it, and they didn't have blowfish that evening. He did it by injecting it into the wine bottle.
Wasn't on the menu, and Columbo noticed that. Is that what I'm hearing? Yes.
He found out somehow with the corkscrews. He has chili in this fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is another Columbo thing, is there was this actor named Vito Scotti, who you would recognize if you saw him. And he was in a bunch of Columbos, and he played waiters, and he played chauffeurs, and he plays a bum in one of them, a hobo.
Okay.
And so he's in this one. He's a waiter, and Columbo, like, there must be a mistake. I just had the chili. And he goes, no, that's the price. And he goes, really? For chili? So it's him being dumbfounded by
Columbo prices. He's every man. He's every man.
He is every man. He likes to eat at Barney's Beanery and street hot dogs.
Wait, is that him?
Yes. Yes.
In that picture, remember I have that face thing, but he looks kind of like Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy.
In that picture, yeah, I can see that.
But he's also that guy.
Yeah, that's where he plays a homeless fella.
Right. This guy is always brilliant, I'm told, according to Reddit.
Yes, he is, and he's always comic relief in Columbo's.
All the characters played by Vito Scotti in Columbo. This is actually a list that has been compiled on the internet, because there's a list for everything. Why wouldn't there be? Right?
Yes, exactly.
It's
Columbo's good for a list.
He is good for a list. Do you know that there's a restaurant that I used to go to all the time here in Los Angeles that it was full of very, very, it's called Hugo's. There's a couple of them now, and it used to be amazing, and it's just okay now. But when I first went there, I got pretty friendly with the staff, and they were at one point talking about some woman who had come in with a bag of groceries. And I was like, why did she bring it? And the maitre d' or the person who had seen us said, she wanted the chef to use particular ingredients she had just bought at Whole Foods to make her lunch. And I was like,
goodness.
Because there was a sign on the door said, you cannot bring your own food into our restaurant. And I said, so what is that? And they said, it just happened. A woman brought in her groceries. She wanted us to cook those groceries into a meal. And, I was like, is there anyone you would have allowed that? Like if Barbara Streisand had come in or Oprah, and they were like, maybe, but probably not. They're just like, go home to your chef.
Restaurants get better food than we do.
Maybe, right?
Yeah, their meat is superior. We can't buy restaurant meat.
We can't buy restaurant. Well, what if they're using Sisco? Is that good food? I see those giant Sisco trucks, and I always think I wouldn't buy anything from Sisco. I mean, I remember when I worked at a hot dog stand for 3 summers.
Oh, there's a movie about that.
Yeah, we made our own tartar sauce. Hey guys. Anyway, you got another episode?
Any old port in a storm.
Any old port
is. Donald Pleasance and his brother own a winery.
Okay.
And Donald Pleasance is really into wine, and the brother is really into spending the money.
Sure.
And he wants, so the brother, the Playboy brother, wants to sell to basically the Mondavi brothers, except they're named something else.
Okay.
And Donald Pleasance is just appalled. That not only does he want to sell, but he wants to sell it to these low rent, you know, they make horrible wine.
Right. There's no quality.
We have the Scotti brothers and whatever. So he murders him.
And his own brother, essentially the cash cow.
His stepbrother.
Oh, stepbrother. Yes.
He murders the Playboy because he's, gauche. And.
Oh, wait. The wine guy murders the Playboy.
Yeah, Donald Pleasance murders the Playboy.
Oh, actually, that makes more sense because the Playboy shouldn't murder the wine guy. That's the guy who makes the money.
Yeah,
the Playboy. Right. but the wine guy's like, what are you insane? Oh, that's where the arrogance comes in.
Yes, yes.
Because he's a really good winemaker.
Yeah, and that's what's most important to him. And it's what's interesting because I just watched it not that long ago. Donald Pleasance is like, "Oh, you squander your money on fast cars and women," and the Playboy is like, "You squander your money on expensive wine, and making this place not earn as much money as it could." So it's like, yeah, you both have issues.
You both have a point.
Yeah, why don't you work it out instead of hitting him in the head with a heavy thing?
And he didn't hide him in a vat of wine, did he?
No, but he hid him in a wine cellar.
Okay.
A special wine vault where he keeps his expensive wines.
Oh.
And then he flew to New York. And while he was in New York, it was the hottest day of the year in LA.
Right.
And so he had turned off the ventilation because his brother wasn't dead. His brother was unconscious. So he drags him out of the wine cellar and then he turns off the ventilation so that he'll suffocate and die.
Oh my God.
In doing that, he ruined all the wine in the vault. So he had to destroy it all. And while he's destroying it, Columbo finds him at the beach, throwing it all away, and lays out how he caught him. And he says, "I'll confess, but that there's no remorse." Like,
right. Nobody's looking for any. Everyone's just looking for the confession, buddy. And I love the drama of, I'm going to pour this wine into the sea instead of just going, I've ruined $1 million in old timey wine. Please take it away. Oh, and then if you could also grind up my stepbrother, that'd be great. And it makes for a less dramatic movie moment for sure.
He got rid of his brother after he comes back from New York and he goes down to the wine vault. He dresses his brother in his scuba suit. And his brother was a scuba diver. He puts him in his scuba suit and then he tosses him in the ocean. And then...
Oh, that's why he was down on the beach.
Yes, and he washes up on the shore. And
but he clearly didn't die in the scuba. I mean, even I know that. I mean,
well, the supposition by the police was that he hit his head and then suffocated by running out of air.
Okay. As opposed to, well, now here's something, Randy. If we were to kill someone and then have an elaborate plan of how to say it was an accident, wrestling a 180-pound person into a scuba suit
myself? One of the flaws of Columbo is how easy dead bodies are to move.
Right. It does
people just drag them.
Pick them up.
They pick them up and it's no problem. Women dragging men.
Right. I throw my luggage downstairs. I don't want, and it's 30 pounds.
Yeah,
I let my luggage just roll downstairs and I make, that's insane.
It's a bad one. So yeah, I love that because Donald Pleasance is fantastic in it. And
what was Columbo, he in? What kind of,
He was in Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And
horror movie.
He was that doctor. The doctor,
in Halloween?
Yeah. Because of Mike Myers or whatever. And he was also in The Great Escape.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's the kind of face I think you'd recognize because he's also in Escape from New York. He's the president in Escape from New York.
Oh, cool. All right. I've seen that. Yep. That's the one I've seen. It's not a great movie, Escape from New York. It's okay. I mean, it's fun.
One of my favorites, and this is one I remember loving when I was a little boy. I was watching these when I was 9.
Right.
From 9 to 16. So I kind of grew up with Columbo. It's called A Case of Immunity. As Hector Elizondo is the bad guy.
Okay.
And it's a fictitious Arab country. He's in the consulate and he's been embezzling and he gets caught by the head of security.
Mm-hmm.
So he stages a robbery. He has somebody do a robbery who then they kill the head of security during the robbery. And then he kills the robber. Hector Elizondo kills the robber.
Oh, wow.
To cover
his tracks.
Yes. Yeah. And what I loved about this one was Columbo has a bunch of circumstantial evidence, but he doesn't really have any smoking guns to tie him to it. So he's talking to the guy. It's the king. The king, who's very young, leaves on a plane. And so Columbo's talking to this guy who thinks he's gotten away with it because he has diplomatic immunity.
Right.
And Columbo goes, well, as long as you have diplomatic immunity, why don't you just tell me, fill in these missing pieces for me. because you beat me, you know, and I just want to know how you did it. So he says, he tells that, and then as soon as he confesses, the king comes out from behind a door and goes,
right,
you are under arrest. And he goes, I give up my diplomatic immunity. I'd give up my diplomatic immunity. No, no, you're under arrest. Yeah, because he knows if he goes back to his country, he's going to get tortured.
They're just going to chop his head off.
Yeah.
Because it's Saudi Arabia. Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's very funny. Yes.
Yeah, Columbo goes, oh, I guess I'll let you. All right. I guess I'll let you confess.
Oh, so Columbo takes him?
Columbo takes him. Yeah.
Okay. So the guy does give up his diplomatic immunity. That, I don't think, yeah, that's. There's a flaw there, but I mean, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And because Columbo does seem to be like, nobody's questioning him. There's no accountability. Everybody is just like, no, that guy, he's going to tell us who did it. And then, and then they put him in a car and the episode's over.
They never even should go that far. They'll say officer, and then an officer walks in and that's it.
Oh, and that's the end of it.
So, yeah, there's no law and order part. There's no booking. It's just, this is the guy.
Columbo goes home to his mythical wife and his,
yes.
He gets the dog out of the car and hopefully he's left some water in there. His
possibly children, possibly not children.
Possibly he might have kids. Name. Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah. We don't know his first name. Just knows he's Columbo.
Is he Detective Columbo?
He's Lieutenant Columbo.
Lieutenant. Okay.
Which I guess is higher than just regular detective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's already a big deal when the series starts. He's already the top homicide guy.
Oh, he's a top cop. Okay.
Yeah, that's why they send him on these high profile cases.
Okay.
So another one. Oh, I already talked about the Sky High Mile. Those were my five.
If someone, do you think because it's Monster of the Week and because they're movie length, do you think someone could just, you know, start with watching any episode? Is there a reason to go chronological?
There's no reason to go chronological. Although if you do the very first episode, you get Steven Spielberg's direction and it's really great. It's really a fantastic episode. And really super well directed. And
that's cool. And that's 73 or 74?
That's 71. So that's before he did. That's before he did Duel, which was his TV movie. They got him Jaws. Or no, Sugarland Express. I got him Sugarland Express with Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
And that got him Jaws.
Right.
So it's a pretty fast rise from Columbo to Jaws. There's another guy named Jeno Swark who directed a Columbo episode, and he directed Jaws 3.
Oh, so weird. There's
two different Jaws directors.
Right.
Also, episode 1 was written by Stephen Pochko.
Right. Did he end up directing any of the episodes?
Stephen Pochko, no. He wrote a bunch, though.
And then he created Hill Street Blues, I think.
Yes, Hill Street Blues, and then something after that, right?
Everything. Like, I think, like, very famous.
Yeah.
I just did an episode about Hill Street Blues. Somebody loved Hill Street Blues, which is why I remembered his name. Plus, and, like, Sipowicz, that was why. I remember.
Oh, yeah, Sipowicz. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The drama of 70s television. We did it, Randy. This is it. We're at like almost at an hour. I wonder if there are like, I mean, because there seems to be a great deal of fandom with this. Do you think that there's conventions?
I've never heard of a convention. My wife and I used to, Amy, who you know.
She's my cousin.
Yeah. Excuse me. We used to live tweet episodes with other Columbo fans.
Oh, that's fun.
And remember when Twitter was fun?
You could tweet
things and
yes.
There was Drunk Hulk and
right. And just, it was literally, it felt like you knew 200 people.
Yes.
And Threads is a little bit like that, but it's also slightly overrun by bots. But if you avoid the bots, and because my coworkers will occasionally respond to bots with quippiness, at which point I will know to block a bot. I'm like, okay, why, Paula Poundstone, are you replying to that, which is clearly a bot? Because it's the name is like Eddie 1977. And you're like, and he has 154 followers. And you're like, nope. And it's a picture of either a dog or the flag. And you're like, the dog is trying to make him look real. The flag is definitely, you're like, block. So I think that I did post a thing on Threads today where I was, because Variety did a list of their 100 favorite comedies, movies.
Oh.
And written by 6 different people where they had to agree on 100 different movies. Some of them aren't even comedies. And some of them are just like, they're like, you saw that when you were 14. So that is affected.
Right.
So they haven't seen all of the comedies. They haven't broken it down into like physical comedies versus, you know, I mean, sure, old-timey comedies. It could be the Marx Brothers and Laurel and Hardy and Abbott Costello and Buster Keaton. And, you know, then you go back to silent film. I mean, the article drove me mad is what I was saying. And then somebody on Threads said, this is just rage bait. Variety, for some reason, all these lists are rage bait. And I was like, oh, you were right. And then I had to step away. But clearly, still haunts me.
I don't know if I've seen 100 comedies.
Well, you've seen many of these movies that they consider to be comedies that are not.
Oh.
So I don't understand why Rocky Horror Picture Show is considered a comedy. I don't know what I would call it. Maybe a musical?
A musical.
Mm-hmm. And it's occasionally funny.
Yeah.
And then there's some political satire. And then there's some physical comedy. And then there's some, like, there's no list of animated comedies, right? Like Aladdin or Roger Rabbit or even Curse of the Were-Rabbit. And other rabbit titled, it's funny when you all of a sudden you get into a rabbit hole. Randy Houser, it has been an hour.
All right.
I have digressed in these last moments. You got nothing to plug. You just wanted to talk to me about Columbo. And yes. I wanted to talk to you about Columbo because I haven't done with Jim Wooster that episode. I had to send him like a USB stick because it was the very beginning of the.
Oh, yeah. Zoom got so much better during lockdown.
Yeah. Right. Jim Wooster has done other episodes. He did an episode with Mike Rickberg, who wrote the theme song to The Dork Forest. And that is episode 2 of the pre-recorded episodes. So go back in time, folks, and see that. But right now, you have enjoyed Randy Houser talking about Columbo. Thank you so much for doing the show.
All right. Thank you.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?